You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
Happy November.
Yes, indeed.
And Devin.
Thanksgiving month.
Yes, it is. And Veterans Day. Let's not forget Veterans Day. So, hey, Devin, how are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm all right.
You're all right.
I'm recovering. Let's put it that way.
Understandable.
Yeah, I know. It's oh gosh, this recovering. I'm not taking the bait. I'm not.
Guys, I think I was kissed by a rose.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I don't know. Does that reference make sense in any way? I don't think it does.
I'm trying to understand what seal has to do with anything this week.
Well, I think he just mentioned rose is all. I think that's the key. The key word being rose. John, you're slow on the uptake this morning. I got it right off the bat, but slow.
Hang on, let me sip some more of my Mountain Dew Kickstart.
You need a kickstart.
There we go.
Oh.
This portion brought to you by Mountain Dew, a Pepsi. Oh God, both of you are drinking Mountain
Dew.
Yes,
I'm having my Mountain Dew Game Fuel.
Oh God.
Packed with goodness.
Pepsi, we need you to reach out to us for a sponsorship here.
That will work. I have no issues with that. There will be a new version of Mountain Dew. It'll be called Jedi and Germs Fuel.
Here's what stinks. Every game the Jazz have lost, there has been an ex-Jazz man on the other team.
Yeah, that does.
If we're counting Derrick Rose.
That does stink.
It's fun to do.
But hey, they've been the killers.
But hey,
can we
yeah. Wait, hold up. John, please don't do that to me. Let's not hit that narrative with this game, please, because we've already had a national pundit try and create that narrative, and I don't want to do it.
Well, I mean, we have fun with that with like Glenn Rice and those guys through the years.
And for those who are missing out on what we're talking about, Devin, I don't know if you're weird looking for that.
Are you talking about Schmick Schmooker?
Oh, yeah. Schmick Schmooker. Yeah. You know, trying to create a narrative out of nothing. And, you know, then he gets mad when Jazz fans come at him. Like, really, dude?
He's just being a schmick head.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the game.
Gorgui Dieng is an ex-Jazz man because the Jazz would have – it was his draft pick that the Jazz had that ultimately went to the Timberwolves Jazz traded up to get Trey Burke.
I want to know why this narrative exists. Ronnie Cycli never went off on us.
Didn't he, like, retire at the end of that year anyway?
Yeah, I think so. So, it's a moot point at this point, isn't it?
Well, it's not because this – here all three losses.
Yes, except I'm not counting Derek. Yeah, Derek Rose is not an ex-Jazz man.
Yes,
okay,
he is.
No, I'm not counting it.
His jersey should be in the rafters.
No, brother, according to Schmick Schmooker, it should be. Yes,
you know what, he's the only MVP that the Jazz have ever had besides Karl Malone. And you want to discredit him?
Yeah,
he felt disrespected,
and part of Bucher's statements too could be had in the wrong way by guys, you know, like a former 15-year All-Star who played here and then moved on. But yeah, he chose to play here, so whatever. Joe Johnson.
The thing with Schmick Schmooker is he was taking something that is factually correct. Whenever they do those player surveys on what's the last team you'd want to play for.
Yeah.
Utah usually gets something like 20-30% or something. So factually sure, but the way he said it and the way he tried to dig it in,
all the wrong way.
And then he clutches his pearls that people are bothered by what he said.
To be fair, he doesn't like him. To be fair, there's a history here. Schmooker has done this before and is not a big fan of Utah. So let's be fair.
And I will give him this. Utah fans of any sport seem to be very insecure.
True.
And it's just who we are. I don't know why.
Okay, but I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say any fan of any sport is, because I'm sorry, you can do the same thing in any other market, and the same issues are going to arise. There is a victim mode with any sport, with any fandom. It doesn't matter. You're going to have the same thing happen to Minnesota fans. You're going to have the same thing happen to even Laker fans when they become the butt the NBA for a few years.
I disagree with the Lakers.
Okay, maybe not the Lakers. That was a bad example. Sorry.
I would say all mid to small market fan bases.
And that's what I was going
to
say.
But the Lakers go to the lottery 5 years in a row, and they're like, yeah, we'll still get 3 free agents next year and go to the championship next year. We're fine. We're fine. Everyone loves us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. I was thinking it was maybe the small market, the fact that we only have the Jazz and RSL as our professional sports teams. You know what I mean?
Go RSL. We'll
get to that. We'll get there. But you know, I think there's some truth to what he says, but I do think that he's just trying to get a rise out of people. And like you said, he's done this before with his comments.
He's got a history. Yeah. So enough about Schmucker, because it's really tainted the first half of our podcast. Let's really dig in deep. Before this trip started, we all talked about this and picked 2-1. I don't think we expected this three game stretch to go the way it did, though. I think we all anticipated 2-1, but did we expect the wins that we got out of this one?
I would have thought that the Pelicans would have been the loss, but we didn't know at the time that Davis was going to miss the game.
Right.
And then also when we learned Butler wasn't going to play, I just thought for sure the Jazz would beat the T-Wolves. But, you know, unexpected. No one expected Mitchell to get injured, not be able to finish the game.
Right. Well, they're pesky, too.
Exactly.
It's something about Minnesota, man. This happens every year. It seems like we have a game that we're on paper supposed to win, and somehow Minnesota pulls out the W. I don't get it.
Well, and for anybody out there who wants to say that was all Derrick Rose, let's not. I mean, he had a historically good night for himself, like a career night. But it was not Derrick Rose who beat the Jazz. The Jazz made mistakes and didn't defend well down the stretch. You're right. No Donovan Mitchell. There were just points in that game where I thought the Jazz really, especially down the stretch defensively, they had some moments where they just kind of, they looked like they lost focus on what they were doing.
Yeah, I thought once Mitchell was out and they had that unit in there, you could sense a real shakiness, a nervousness on defense. And for me, the bottom line is they lost by 3 and they missed 12 free throws.
Right.
That's what it comes down to for me. And a lot of those misses were in the fourth quarter.
Yep. Rudy had, what, 3 out of the final 4 he took, he missed, I think. And then you had a couple other guys.
Yeah, Rudy missed 5 free throws and 3 of them were in the fourth. I remember Crowder had a 1-for-2 there late in the fourth that we really needed him to make both.
Joe Ingles missed 2 in a row as well, which is an odd one for him. I think it was Joe Ingles.
Yeah, that's a weird one. It was. And, you know, I'm looking at the plus minus, and the bench just wasn't what they usually are for the right. Jazz. Crowder was a minus 14.
Right.
Rubio has yet to – he's had one good game so far, the first 7 games. So – they need him to get into second half of the season mode a lot sooner than he did last year.
Right.
Especially with Mitchell. It sounds like Mitchell's going to miss tonight's game. If he's missing tonight's game, I'm thinking he's doubtful for tomorrow's game as well. This could get bad pretty soon. Looking ahead to this week, Memphis at home, at Denver, and then home games with Toronto and Dallas. Jazz could easily do 1-3 with that stretch, especially if Mitchell's going to miss most of them. Well, we could find ourselves talking next week about a 5-6 team.
Which, by the way, I mean, to the point, I mean, we're not, you guys may do a show without me next week because I won't be able to, but next week, Boston comes to town too. So you've got a stretch of games here that pretty wild and tough.
Yeah.
So, especially when you're missing Donovan Mitchell. I mean, looking at the schedule, I mean, Dallas at home, that should be, you should win that game, but you've got, I mean, Toronto is no gimme. Hello, look at what they're doing right now. You know, they're playing extremely well. Denver, holy crap, did anybody expect Denver to be this good early on? So, that's 2 huge games coming up, and it it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
Yeah, Denver 7-1, Toronto 7-1. Boston seems to figure things out. They're 6-2.
Right.
Memphis is 4-2. Memphis has a better record than the Jazz right now.
And I don't know, since our last conversation, I don't know where Denver's defense fits, but I believe last week we had Denver up there near the top defensively, and then of course Boston. So you've got, and Toronto is a good defensive team. You've got some really good defensive teams on the schedule over the next week.
Yeah. Boston's number one defense. Nuggets is number four. Grizzlies is number three. Toronto's number nine.
Yeah.
They're all good defensive teams.
Right. And so it's not going to help the case, especially
except for Dallas.
So, yeah, exactly. And it's not going to help the case, especially with one Ricky Rubio, like you mentioned. I mean, it's going to require a breaking out of sorts, if you will, for Rubio. So I hope that'll happen. What do you expect of this stretch? Where do the Jazz sit next Friday night, Friday morning, whatever you want?
Depends how many games Mitchell misses. If he only misses the Memphis game, then I would give them a 2-2 chance. If he misses Memphis and Denver, then I'm going to put him at 1-3.
Okay. I think that's a good assessment, and I will agree on that one. Devin, any disagreement?
2-2.
Okay. All right. Trying to think if I'm missing anything else Utah Jazz wise. It's been a good week. We've seen good things. Dante Exum's going to get his number called, so I expect him to. He's played well this year so far. I think with Donovan Mitchell being hurt, I think this is Exum's time to come step up and play a more prominent role for a game or two, three, something like that.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to point out about that game, I had wondered why they didn't have better shooters in for the final possession of the game.
Right.
And just to give an idea of how the shooting is going right now, you have Rubio 32% from three, Exum 31% from three, Crowder 35% from three. Who else was in there? Ingles is still at 40%. And then you had Rudy. It would have been not, the trouble with Mitchell being out and Burks questionable. I can't remember. Was he active? Anyway, so that leaves you with like Grayson Allen and George Niang, and they're good 3-point shooters. You wonder if they could live up to the pressure that moment. Also, O'Neal, he hasn't taken many threes, but for what he's taken, he's at 57%. That right. Might have been an option.
Right. He's at 57. Last time I checked, Alec Burks was at 50 or 51, and Niang was right there at 50 as well, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just they don't take that many threes a game, but they're good. Burks is still sitting at 50%.
But Burks has been a 38% or better 3-point shooter for what, a couple years now. He doesn't take a lot, but he sits right there, hovers right there in the plus side of the 3-point range. But you know, yeah, I get where you're coming from, but like you said, I mean, moment. What's more is I don't know when they had last played in that game. You bring guys in cold off the bench and you expect them to hit a big game winner. I don't know how that works in the NBA, or how well that works in the NBA, I should say.
Well, Sonny D could tell you how it works.
funny you said that, because I just rewatched the video on his game-winning 3-pointer last night. So
there you go.
Sunday out of gains. All right. Anything else on the Jazz?
Something's happening this morning.
What's happening this morning?
Something's available this morning.
Please do tell.
The throwback jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Go on sale this morning. So if you're listening, you probably already missed it, and we're sorry. Yeah. But if you got one, tweet out a pic. I want to see them. I want to see how they look.
I saw somebody already got one. Are you sure they weren't available before this morning?
Yeah.
Because I thought I saw our good friend... Now I'm trying to think if I saw it. I saw somebody post on Facebook in one of the Facebook groups. John, I know you saw it. It was in the Lock Face on group, Facebook group. David, BW Fans posted it. A picture of a jersey, and I thought it was the throwback, wasn't it?
Well, it may have been a photo, but unless they were wearing it.
Oh, okay, fine.
You know what I mean? Because the photos have been floating around, but they're on sale as of this morning, so.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll do it for Jazz Talk. Let's move on to NBA news and notes. What do you want to talk about in the world of the NBA?
Well, the Jazz are not the only ones where injury is affecting them. I think you can chalk up the Minnesota loss to Jazz injury. They would argue, hey, we didn't have Butler either. But you know what? Mitchell stays healthy. I still think they pull out that win. Other teams having the same problem. Kevin Love, he's missing at least a month with this toe injury. You have Anthony Davis out for the Pelicans, and you've seen that reflect the record. They were undefeated until he got injured. Now they're dropping down the standings fairly quickly. Oklahoma City, I think one of the main reasons they're having such a terrible start is Roberson has still not played for them. Washington Wizards have had a terrible start. Dwight Howard had yet to play for them. He was their big free agent signing. And, you know, I don't think he's going to help them that much, but it's really affected them. There's a lot of teams where the injuries are just, you know, piling up for them. The Spurs, Murray and White missing their time means the Spurs, if the playoffs were started today, the Spurs are a lottery team. No, they recovered. Who am I thinking of? Oh, Houston. I'm thinking of Houston. Sorry, I got Houston and Spurs mixed up. You have these expected good teams that are all struggling because, you know, they can't overcome what's been happening with them.
Right. Yeah, and it's still early in the season. I mean, it's crazy though. Over the last, man, it's been a few years, John, but injuries have plagued the league, I think, more now than ever before, don't you think?
I don't know if I can say that.
It just seems to be more on a frequent basis.
Yeah, and they've been trying to come up with different ways to ease that, you know, making the season longer, spacing out games.
Right.
But, you know, every year there's something. You have a season where Paul George has to miss the entire year.
Right.
Blake Griffin missing his entire year, you know, more than one rookie having to miss their entire rookie year. It happens every year. It'd be hard to really say which years have been worse for which players missing a lot, but you know, it happens. And you know, you got to be happy if you're the Celtics that your guys are back this year. Right. That was big for them last year. Philadelphia has to be happy that their guys are all there right now. Portland, you know, all those teams that are managing to stay healthy, they're staying up at the top. Denver missed Millsap most of the year. They have a healthy roster. They're 7-1.
Exactly. So, all right. Now I know you want to touch on something, the dumpster fire that is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes.
They fired Tyronn Lue, and there's been a few people come out in his defense this week, including former Cavs GM David Griffin. Thoughts?
Well, they fire him, and then they've gone 1-1 since. I don't know. I was hoping to see what he could do in his rookie season, but 0-6, who knows? I think they did him a favor by just saying, you know what, we're going to suck this year. We're going to give you a bunch of money to just go away. We're going to stay in the tank. You know, they were 0-6. They weren't going to have Love for another month. It's just a big mess out there. I don't think it's fair to him at all, but
did you see did you see David Griffin's remarks on it?
No, I didn't.
He came out in support of Ty Lue and mentioned, you know, he was a little disappointed in how they can turn around and can the guy that brought them their first title and this and that. He kind of went down the line, and I don't know. I saw somebody post on Twitter some comments about it, but came out in defense of Ty Lue. Just couldn't understand why they did that. And wasn't David Griffin was the GM at the time that Ty Lue was hired, wasn't he?
I believe so. And the thing with Ty is, okay, they got rid of Brat. They make Ty the head coach. They win the championship. The next year, they go all the way to the finals. During that time, the front office is making bad trades, bad moves. Right. They're leaving the cupboard bare for when LeBron leaves. They knew LeBron was going to leave. LeBron leaves. They have nothing to show for it. The free agents they picked up are way underperforming what they anticipated.
Right.
Their young guys aren't coming along as much as they'd like. It really isn't fair to fire the coach that got you to the finals 2 years ago when your best player leaves and your front office has sucked. He was a scapegoat for the front office. I mean, you can see it's a mess because interim coach Larry Drew, I mean, he is publicly talking about how terrible negotiations are going for his contract because he knows that he's going to get fired at the end of this year.
Well, and to your point, for that matter, the David Griffin situation was a bad situation too. Didn't they fire Griffin?
Yeah, they fired Griffin.
I mean, that's...
And LeBron was not happy about it.
Exactly. That's where it started going downhill. You want to secure LeBron. If you're really worried about him leaving, if you want to secure him, you know, don't get rid of guys like Griffin. I think Griffin was probably the beginning of the end for them, to be fair. So you just, like I said, dumpster fire. It's Cleveland. Dumpster fire right now. Devin, you're looking at me like you just...
Well, let's be clear. Ty Lue did not get the Cavs to the finals.
I knew you were going to have a comment on this note.
He did not, okay? But I will say that you're absolutely right that there has been mismanagement by the Cleveland front office and that, you know, he's set up to fail. And he's definitely getting a raw deal here. I mean, to fire a coach less than a month into his rookie season of head coaching is just ridiculous, guys.
And I'm sorry, I can never think of Tyronn Lue, even when he was coaching, without thinking about the step over by Allen Iverson in the one and only win that Philly had in that finals run.
That's what we need. We need a photoshopped photo
of Allen Iverson.
Instead of Iverson, you have Dan Gilbert there over Ty Lue. That's what we need.
Well done. Well done. All right, that'll do it for there. The last couple of things I wanted to touch on in NBA, John, before we switch gears is, you know, I think the unbeatens have all finally dropped.
Yep.
And, you know, you mentioned OKC. They had a win last night. And Westbrook looked really good, as not surprising, really. And I'm just trying. Oh, did both of you catch the box score for De'Aaron Fox last night?
Oh, I heard. No, I haven't looked it up.
He had a triple double.
Yeah, I hear he had incredible
triple double, career high in points, assists, and rebounds.
Good for him. You know, Sacramento mess for a long time, but
yeah.
Fox is living up to what they hoped he was going to be. Oh, and plus it was the Hawks. One thing I wanted to mention, the one win Cleveland has, it was against the Hawks, and it was by something like 24 points.
Yeah.
So Trae Young is looking great for the Hawks, but they have no defense at all.
Oh, they're awful. They're awful. So I was going to look up De'Aaron Fox's
numbers.
There it
is. De'Aaron Fox, 31 points, 15. Assists, 10 rebounds, and a steal. Plus minus a 34.
Yeah, great night for De'Aaron Fox. And Sacramento, they look pretty good in the early going. Of course.
Yeah, Jelica is looking great for them. I'm kind of mad that we didn't get him.
Of course, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned for both Sacramento and Denver because the Charles Barkley curse is in full effect for both teams. Because he's been Googling. I can't believe I just used the word Googling. He's been going crazy over both of them over the last 24 to 48 hours.
He's probably been Googling too, yeah. Let's be honest. You got to get your facts.
But last night he went as far as to say Sacramento's a playoff team. That they're going to make the playoffs this year.
6-3.
It's early.
And he talked last night about how much he loves Denver. Guys, if I'm a Denver fan or Sacramento fan, I'm afraid right now because the Barkley curse is going to come back to bite you.
Well, the thing with Barkley is he admitted that he doesn't watch that many NBA games. He watches whatever is on the channel that night.
Right.
And other than that, he just looks at the standings and goes, oh, wow, Denver's a good team. Sacramento's a good team. Wow.
Hand me another donut. Oh, wait, sorry.
Well, that's terrible.
All right. And lastly, can't think of, I mean, the Rockets, they look horrible. I'm just trying to think of other NBA things that I've been noticing the last few days.
Now the Rockets are going to be fine, Kenny. Yeah. The Rockets are going to be fine.
Let's just go over standings. Okay. As of Friday morning, the West, your eight playoff teams would be the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Blazers, the Spurs, the Kings, the Grizzlies, the Jazz, and then you have a three-way tie for eighth place between the Pelicans, Clippers, and Timberwolves.
Wow.
In the East, your teams tied for first, Milwaukee and Toronto. Then you have in third, the Celtics, the Pacers, the Pistons, the Sixers. The in seventh seed is your 4 and 5 Hornets, and your eighth seed is your 3 and 4 Heat.
Can we also talk about the job that Budenholzer is doing in Milwaukee right now?
All they needed was a good coach.
Holy crap. I mean, they lost their first game last night to Boston, but dang, they are looking good right now. Really good.
And they barely lost.
Yeah, they did. And watching some of the highlights last night, they're using Greek Freak in the post a little bit more. Is that a sign of things to come? Because they ran some offensive sets out of the post to him where he could either pass or post a guy up and go to the rim. Greek Freak expanding his game a bit.
Well, he can do pretty much anything.
Well, I know he can.
He's not that great from three, but you don't really need him to be,
right.
I still would say. But he's having everybody else shoot threes, which is what they need to do.
But he
so when you got that many good shooters, use them.
But yeah, they did not in the post. When I say post, they did not use him in the high post. They put him in the low post in that anchor spot on quite a few different plays last night, where he could pass out of or dribble and take a guy to the rim, and looks pretty good down there in that post. Looked pretty comfortable. So Greek Freak, you know, we talked about MVP talk, that he's in that talk. I see no reason why we need to back off that at all either. He looks good right now.
Yeah.
Devin rolled his eyes because I'm not even mentioning his client.
No, that's fine. You don't have to. I'm not worried. I'm just going to wait this out till the end of the season. We'll see.
All right. That's enough for NBA news and notes. Let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
Well, that's not enough for NBA talk. So we're going to talk about something, you guys. Klay Thompson is the best player on the Golden State Warriors.
False. For one night, he was, yes.
Klay's 52 points.
On how many three-pointers made? I think he had 14.
Yeah, he made 14, an NBA record. Let's just take a closer look at this, okay? 14 of 24, so he shot just over 58% from three.
Dang.
His true shooting percentage that night, John, tell me if this is good, 87%?
Oh, my gosh.
It's above average.
That's video game worthy, guys. That's video game.
He was a plus 28.
That's when the genie granted you a wish.
Yeah, gosh.
He was a plus 28. Surprisingly, Draymond was a plus 34 and KD was a plus 45 that night. Holy cow. But, you know, here's why I want to bring this up. Because in NBA history, how many games do you think there have been where someone scores 50 points in under 30 minutes?
I think it was twice.
It's happened twice.
Steph Curry was one.
No.
Aren't they both Klay?
They're both Klay.
Well, I thought Steph Curry had 51 through three quarters or less than three quarters.
I'm talking about minutes played.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say that game that Klay scored 60.
Okay.
He hit 50 in less than, yeah.
26 minutes and 33 seconds.
I take it both are, I mean, the one was an NBA record. The other one is right there with it, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets better. Okay. Because you're impressed with those numbers, right? How could you not be?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So on his 52 points, he had 52 touches that night.
So he scored every time he touched the ball.
No, not necessarily, because he was knocking down threes, but
yeah.
But it gets crazier. That night, he dribbled the ball 56 times.
So a lot of catch and shoot.
A lot of catch and shoot.
Dang.
But it gets even crazier from that, because, okay, he didn't dribble the ball much. The ball was in his hands. You know how he played 26 and a half minutes?
Devin did his research here.
The ball was in his hands for 96 seconds.
For the entire game.
For the entire game.
Wow.
Damn.
It's just, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? He would look so good in a Jazz uniform.
Yes, he would.
Yes, he would. He'd never agree to it, but yes, he would.
Oh, man. I just, the more you looked at the numbers and kind of saw what he did, it just blew me away.
Talk about starting quick hits off with a bang. All right. You got anything that can match up to that?
Let's talk baseball. The Red Sox won the World Series. Sorry, Sean. Sorry, our Dodger fans. Do we care?
No.
I'm not really okay.
I watched part of one of the games. It was cool, but couldn't really get into it because I figured the Red Sox were going to win the whole time after they went up 2-0.
I mean, you can apologize to Sean, but in fairness, you just gave him a lot of Golden State love, so you can't really apologize too much.
I did, you know. And there was that great, you know, like 15-hour game that they played.
That went on until what? 2 o'clock in the morning local time, 1 o'clock their time, I think, something like that.
I don't even know.
I don't know.
I went to bed.
I just know I saw Spencer Cox tweeting from it because I think he was there and a few others were there that night. So, yeah.
Okay, let's do a quick jump over to the NFL. There were a few trades that happened. Demaryius Thomas leaves the Broncos, goes over to the Texans. I believe they kicked back a fourth-round pick, if I'm recalling correctly.
Sounds right, yeah.
Golden Tate leaving the Lions, going to the Eagles for a third round pick. I'm sure there were other trades, but those were the two big ones that I recall.
So since we last, I don't know, it's been a couple of weeks, but the one we didn't ever touch on was former Ohio State Buckeye El Guapo, former San Francisco 49er, is on. He had third team in a year, 2 years. He got traded again too.
Wow.
I didn't see this. Ha ha, Clinton Dix went to the Redskins in a trade.
Yeah, because Carlos Hyde went to, where was he? He left the Niners and signed with, and I forget who,
he went down to Florida somewhere, I believe.
Well, now he's in Jacksonville now. That was the recent trade. They sent him to Jacksonville, I believe, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that was a mid-season trade that I think was a little bit of a shocker.
You're making me work here.
I know it. You're talking trades. I remember seeing Carlos Hyde getting shipped off, and I'm like thinking, man, they just picked him up, and now they're trading him.
Which team?
Devin's looking it up, but
anyway, a lot of the last couple weeks, you've seen which teams have pretty much given up on this season with the moves they're making. And it feels like Packers is one of them.
Should they be?
Yeah, they maybe. Shouldn't be, but some of these moves, that's the only thing I can think makes sense. Oh, and also the Seahawks waived Brandon Marshall.
Okay, so it was Carlos Hyde. He ended up with Cleveland after he left the Niners, and Cleveland traded him 2 weeks ago to Jacksonville.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, but the Packers, I'm glad you brought them up because we've got a matchup this week, and I don't think they should be throwing in the towel.
Who? Packers against who?
It's the GOAT. It's the GOAT game.
Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots.
Yeah, Rodgers versus Brady. Even MJ did a spot for Sunday Night Football on it.
Wow.
Where he was talking about how two players, both great, wearing the same number. It's time to settle it.
Where is it at? Is it in Foxborough or is it in the frozen tundra?
It's in New England.
Okay.
It's the Sunday night game.
Packers are coming off a loss this last weekend.
Packers are 3-3-1.
Yep.
New England 6-2.
I anticipate that New England will win that game.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where most people are, but we'll see what happens.
Right.
Had Hugh Jackson been fired when we talked last week?
I don't think so.
Because that seemed kind of unfair. Cleveland went 0-16 last year. And then this year, they're finally showing some improvement. But then after they lost their third in a row, they fired Hugh Jackson.
Well, see, that's...
I don't know. That's, I thought it was kind of weird.
That's, again, my head-scratcher moment. You trade Carlos Hyde, right? You trade Carlos Hyde, and then you fire Hugh Jackson. What are you doing? What in the world are you doing?
They're not used to, like...
They're being the Browns.
Competing. Like, this is what they do.
I mean, Carlos Hyde is a stud running back, and I don't know. I don't know the scenario there. I don't know what was happening, but the fact is they've already improved upon last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. So why are you suddenly making some of these head scratcher moves? I just don't get it. This is why I'm not an NFL analyst, but still.
All right, shall we jump?
Yes.
Well, let's jump to a different kind of football. Let's jump to our locals. You have two teams from the state of Utah in the AP Top 25. You have the Utah State Aggies coming in at 18.
Yes, sir.
And you've got the University of Utah Utes at 16.
Yep.
In the college football playoff, the Aggies do not make the cut, which I'm somewhat curious about. But Utah is in at 15 in playoff rankings.
Okay.
What do you guys think happens from here? How does November treat these two teams?
I think November ends up being good for both of them. I think that the Utes are a long shot for the playoffs, to be fair, but I still think November treats them both pretty well.
Okay. So long shot for the playoffs. What about winning the Pac-12 South?
I think their chances are very good.
Okay, John.
I feel pretty good. I feel good about them winning the Pac-12 South.
I'm not feeling good about them winning the Pac-12 overall. You know, because you're going to have to face one of the two nemesis. You're going to have to face Washington or Washington State in the championship game, likely.
Well, Washington has kind of fallen,
right?
And Utah really should have had Washington State before, and Utah looks like a completely different team than they did.
They do. Before. They do. It's just, for me, it's a tough call still.
It is. It is. You wonder what team is going to show up and how this is going to go. Because they are, I think right now, the hottest team in the Pac-12.
I'm not going to disagree with that. No.
So let's just look ahead, see what we got this week. Aggies will be taking on Hawaii tomorrow. I believe that one is in Hawaii.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
I still think Aggies should win that game, but it's just like the old WAC days when BYU played, John. You remember those when it was a setup, right? They were ranked, they were looking good, and they go down into Hawaii and get clobbered.
Yeah.
So it's one of those.
Hawaii is a briar patch.
Yeah, especially when you've just been bumped into the top 20 and everything's all, you know, flowers and meadows and green hills far away, and everything looks good, and then you're going to end up in Hawaii and bam. But I got to think that Utah State wins that game. I still think that Wells will have them focused.
It's just tough. I would think it's tough to play when you have to travel that far for a game.
Agreed.
You know, I think that has to be one of the biggest home field advantages, I would think, in college football. But
right.
Okay. The Utes will be facing off against Arizona State. That one is at Arizona State. So how we feeling about that one?
John?
I'm picking Utah. Their win was dramatic enough last week, convincing enough, that I'm just gonna go ahead and pick them the rest of the year.
I'll pick them as well, although do not overlook Arizona State on the road, because you never know.
Arizona State is currently 4-4. They are 2-3 in conference play. And they did win their last game, which was against USC. So we will see.
Man, USC is just... That's why the South looks good and open for Utah right now, because USC is just awful right now. I mean, not awful, awful. Not Arizona awful, but they're just not good.
Didn't Arizona beat Oregon last week? I mean, like... You just don't know anymore.
The Pac-12 is beating up on each other. That's why I say long shots to the playoffs, because the Pac-12 is just going to beat up on each other. I don't know how well that bodes them for the playoff.
Okay, and then last local, we'll talk about BYU coming off that 7-6 loss.
Do we have to?
To Northern. I had to mention it. I had to mention it. I'm sorry. They'll be facing off against Boise State.
Where is that at?
Boise.
It's at Boise. I don't think the Cougars are going to win that game. If they do and surprise me like they did against Wisconsin, then great. I just don't know. I don't know what monster to expect from the Cougars at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. They switched quarterbacks and they only scored 6 points last week. I don't have any faith that they're going to beat Boise.
But yeah, he looked good. Even though they only scored 6, he still had good numbers.
What does that mean, though?
I know.
He looked good. They only scored 6 points.
Well, the one time they were, you know, first and goal, they ended up with 2 offensive penalties in a row, 2 false starts in a row that backed them way up. So, and then his one major mistake was the pick to end the game. So he's a true freshman, though. We got to remember that he's a true freshman.
Okay.
But
I remember that he's a true freshman and I still think they're going to lose this weekend.
Well, I know. I didn't say they weren't going to lose this week. I don't know. That's another dumpster fire that we're not going to talk about.
Oh, we can talk about it. We got time.
No, we're not. Sure? No.
Okay.
No. Moving on to something else on Quick Hits.
Notre Dame's undefeated. How's that?
Woo, baby. Let's talk about that.
No, we're not talking about that either. And don't tell me that you're moving out of Quick Hits yet because you have forgotten one.
No, Notre Dame is, they 8-0? They'll face off against Northwestern, which is going to be a tough one.
Because you misled me on this subject.
First 8-0 start since 2012, the year that they went to the national championship, and then I completely forgot what happened in that game.
Way too much Irish going on right now. All right. I hope you have one more football team to talk about on Quick Hits, because when you said football, you were going to mislead me, and we went right into the football and not football.
RSL. Got that dub.
They got the dub?
Yep.
Knockout game, right?
Nice win against LA Football Club. They will face off, I believe it's Sunday evening.
Against their nemesis, isn't it?
Yes. I hate them.
Is it Sporting KC?
It is.
And it's at Sporting KC, isn't it?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, so tell me, school me here. John, I don't know, you can help here too. How does the playoffs work for MLS? I tried to look it up last night. So the first round, the first game is win or go home, right? But then what happens in the second round? Because now they're going to face Sporting KC. Do they play them more than once?
I don't know.
Devin, do you know how this works?
They play more than once. I'm trying to remember how it works because I can't remember the last time I watched the playoffs. It was the last time RSL was in it.
Which has been three or four years, hasn't it?
I want to say that they play 2 games, and it comes down to...
Points, doesn't it?
Total points, 3 points for a win, 1 point for each team for a tie.
Right.
And then it comes down to whoever has the most. If you're in a tie, I can't remember...
Don't you get more points for winning on the road, too? Doesn't that benefit you if you win at the other...
I don't believe so.
Or no. I don't know how soccer stuff works. I'm not a soccer guy. I'm just happy for RSL fans and for RSL. Hey, okay, they won.
I'm trying to figure it out on the MLS site, but I'm not seeing like brackets or anything.
Well, I looked up brackets last night. MLS was not helping me on their site, so I had to go over to, it was either, I think it was CBS is where I found it.
I found one. I found one on MLS Soccer. It's the
leg 1, leg 2. Looks like you do have at least a second or game.
So it all starts, I'm just going to read straight from what it has here.
Yeah.
It all starts with a single elimination knockout round, a match between the 4 and 5 seeds in each conference, hosted by the higher number 4 seed. It's do or die. But basically, it's a play-in game. How do you advance? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so there's a knockout round, which is 1 game. Then there's the conference semifinals, which is 2 games. The conference championships is also 2 games. And then the MLS Cup is just a single game.
Okay, so two games in each of the next 2 rounds.
Yes.
Okay.
So after the single elimination knockout round, let's see, you have the 90 minutes to do it, blah, blah, blah. In the conference semis and conference championships, you have two games, one home, one away. The team that scores the most total goals moves on. So it comes down to total goals, actually.
This next round?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
If the teams are tied on total goals in any playoff round, they play a 30-minute extra time period, and if necessary, they go to a PK. So there you have it.
Okay.
We're going to hear about this.
Yeah, we are.
You know someone is going to give us a bad time for having to look this up.
Jared will. I'll hear about it from Jared.
Someone is going to have something to say. Either way, let's go RSL.
All right.
If you're not going to the game, tune in and watch Sunday.
Okay. So is that the end of Devin's Quick Hits?
It is.
All right. Let's move on to pop culture. John, you have a movie to talk about, and what better week to do so than 2 days after Halloween?
Halloween. Yes, I saw the Halloween sequel last week. I haven't watched many of the Halloween movies. I watched the first two. I think that's it that I've seen. This movie just takes the very first Halloween movie and ignores all the sequels. So this is 40 years after the first movie. And when I say it ignores all the sequels, it still brings back Judy Greer as Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter. I think she started playing her daughter in the fourth or fifth movie. But in the second movie, it revealed that Michael Myers was really Laurie's brother. They get rid of that. So all that stuff's kind of odd. Anyway, they did a really good job of just taking the first movie, having this take place 40 years later. They paid excellent homage to what the original was. This one had its own good suspense and scares. I thought it was really effective. I would say it's the best slasher movie in a long time. I can't think of a better slasher movie that's come out in the past few years. So I thought it was really well done. It's really well paced. There's a lot of good scares. The character work is great. Jamie Lee Curtis, I would compare it to what they let Linda Hamilton do in Terminator 2. She's just this kick butt, seen it all, been training for years for this moment type of protagonist. And I thought it was really effective. I can see why it's been such a big hit. It does exactly what it set out to do.
Well, my understanding too is that is it Nick Castle and Jamie Lee Curtis, the two originals to reprise their roles in this one?
Yeah, she's been in a few of them, but yeah, she's back as Laurie Strode. Nick Castle, who's that?
Mike Myers.
They actually credited two different guys playing Michael Myers.
Well, I believe his stuntman played him, but I was reading up. I was trying to remember where I read it, but he originally played the role of Michael Myers in the original and reprised it in this one, and that they're the two from 40 years ago. So,
yeah, he is. They it's kind of confusing how they do it. I mean, they do a good job, but since there is two different guys playing him, it's hard to tell which times it's him and which times it's the other guy. But they do a really good job of when you never get to see his face clearly. But I really liked how for the first, I don't know, half hour or so, you only see him from behind, but you can see, okay, here's this guy who's now in his 60s. Tall, brooding guy that is able to move around like this. I also like how they still credit him as being their shape. But yeah, I'm going to pull up his IMDb.
While you're looking at it, it was James Jude Courtney who was the stuntman that also played Mike Myers in this film. So it was the two of them.
Okay. So yeah, they both are back and doing their roles. He has not acted a lot.
No, he hasn't. Nick Castle? Yeah, I was just looking it up. He has not.
He's mainly... In fact, he has more credits being a writer. That's interesting. Anyway, yeah, so he's back. He's good. Stuntman is back, apparently. He's good. Jamie Lee Curtis is good. The other original that would have been fun to see again is Donald Pleasance, but he died a long time ago. But yeah, it was from David Gordon Green was the director this time, and it was co-written by Danny McBride, who is not someone you would think would co-write something like this.
Tell me more about Danny McBride, so I know who you're
talking
about. Danny
McBride, he's from Eastbound and Down. He's okay. Been in a few of the Seth Rogen, James Franco movies.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, let's see. David Gordon Green is not exactly a horror director. He's one of the guys that worked on Eastbound and Down with Danny McBride. But he's directed stuff like Pineapple Express and Undertow, movies like that. So yeah, this is a little different for him, and he does a good job.
All right.
Also on streaming, I've started watching season 3 of Man in the High Castle. Man in the High Castle, I would say overall is it can be uneven. But this season, I think, has started off really strongly.
I'm not familiar with that show, I don't think.
It's on Amazon Prime. It's based on the Philip K. Dick novel, and it takes place in the 1960s as if Germany and Japan won World War II.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, I did see a photo of something with a swastika in it that was in regards to that show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so U.S. is occupied. Japan controls the West Coast. Germany controls the eastern half. And then the Rocky Mountains are kind of this neutral zone area. And it's all about the resistance of people trying to fight back against, what's going on. But there's also this supernatural element to it. The Man in the High Castle is someone who is collecting these different films. And the films show the alternate universe of the Allies actually winning World War II. And Hitler is very afraid of the Man in the High Castle for some reason. And so the first season or two is all about the mystery of that. And so season 3 continues along that path where it goes ahead and allows more into the two alternate universes of what's going on and how some characters go back and forth. It's getting really good.
Look at this. He starts up Man in the High Castle on streaming and forgets the homework assignment I gave him last week.
I know. I just...
Daredevil season 3. It was a simple homework assignment.
I know. I looked at it and it just didn't happen. I'd look at it and then I'd watch another episode of Flying Circus. I looked at it on Wednesday, but it was Halloween, so I thought maybe I should watch a horror movie. So I watched Apostle, which is on Netflix, which was weird. It's a weird movie. It starts out kind of like Wicker Man, and then it goes into different directions I didn't see coming. Wasn't exactly scary, but it was interesting. It was a messy, weird, warped, interesting.
Okay. I'll tell you. You have 2 weeks. 2 weeks until I'll be able to until we'll be able to talk about it again. So 2 weeks to watch Daredevil season 3.
I swear I will watch at least some of Daredevil season 3 within the next 2 weeks.
Now that said, between now and then, I'm hoping to catch up on and finish Maniac. Thanks to the two of you, I got started on it, and I hope to finish it. Mm-hmm. Also, The Haunting of Hill House, I am been intrigued and intrigued over and over again by. I want to watch it. So I've downloaded a few of those episodes and intend to catch up on that.
Yeah, I'm dying to watch it, but I just remembered that The Good Place has started, so that's
yes,
me and my wife have to catch up on that before I start Haunting of Hill House.
you have all your normal fall lineups that you got to catch up on, and that's one of them, The Good Place. The other one that I started watching the other day and was really slow, and I took it off my list, and I might go back and revisit Netflix called Godless.
Godless? Oh, I love Godless.
Did you?
I loved it. It's only 6 episodes. Yeah, well, that's great.
I tried to kind of get through episode 1, and it was really slow for me to start.
What is it?
It's the Western with Jeff Daniels and Jack McConnell. It's about this town where the men were killed in a mining accident.
Yep.
And so it's just a town full of women in the West. And then you've got one guy on the run from another guy, so it's kind of a mystery of what's going on there.
Well, yeah, so it's you got your group of outlaws, and this one guy is a former member of this group of outlaws, and he's on the run and ends up in this town. And those Outlaws are led by, okay, I will say this. The bright spot for me in episode one was Jeff Daniels' moments.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite acting jobs by him is Godless. So yeah, I loved that. I love that miniseries.
Jeff Daniels and his band of outlaws is looking for this guy. So that's the premise of the series of how it starts off. So that was my bright spot. And oh my gosh, maybe I need to watch the rest because Jeff Daniels, I agree, very good in this.
Okay, maybe I'll give it a try.
So, the guy pulling out his gun and shooting the snake from across the room next to the baby. I was like, holy crap, mm-hmm. That is cool. So, yeah, I'll try and get back into it. I kind of breezed through that first episode and thought, man, this is just slow grinded out. I don't know, but I'll have to pick it up. I'll go back to it.
Yeah.
That's it for pop culture. No, I don't have it. Not. No, it's not. No, Devin, it's not. Devin, no.
I watched a series.
What did you watch?
I watched two seasons of a series.
Oh, do tell.
I started it last weekend, and I'm already through both seasons. I watched American Vandal.
On Netflix?
Oh.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah,
it is.
It's Netflix.
American Vandal.
John, have you watched it?
I haven't, but I've heard a lot of good things.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I added it to my list.
It's a mockumentary series.
Yes. Yes, it is. So if you are a fan of like the Serial podcast, Making a Murderer, any of those, it's one of those trying to get to the bottom of a crime.
Making a Murderer is still on my list to watch, and I haven't yet.
So the first series, what happens is there is a graffiti incident at a high school where...
Okay. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Have you seen this?
Okay. I've seen enough of it to know what you're talking about.
Where 17 cars are tagged with a phallic symbol. And so they are trying to find out who drew. I'll just say it. They want to find out who did the dicks. And it goes through this whole, you know, who could have done it. And with this timeline, and the graphics are fantastic because it's all, you know, super technical when it really doesn't need to be. It's funny and it's intriguing. And I really enjoyed season one, so I said, okay, I'm going to hurry and watch season two. And I had heard that it was not as good, but I actually really enjoyed season two. That one is trying to find out who the turd burglar is.
So we went from dicks to turd burglar.
So, yeah. Now it's trying to find out because there's these pranks that are happening at this school in Washington. And so... a student is, you know, found guilty, and so someone reaches out and contacts the producer of American Vandal, and so they go up there to investigate that, and they're trying to find out who's behind these poo pranks and really who is the turd burglar. So if you want something that has some strong language, and season two, I hope you don't have a weak stomach. But it's funny. I really enjoyed it.
I'm already laughing about the idea of going from one to the other. Oh boy. All right.
So yeah, they're both, you know, high school settings and okay. The juvenile humor, and I still really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, it sounds like it's been, let's see, Halloween and then a Netflix binge opportunity for anybody and everybody. So that will do it for this week's edition of Jedi and Germs. We thank you all for joining us. We hope to have you along soon again. If you enjoy us, please leave us a review, share us with your friends and family, and with others along the social media network. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just look up Jedi and Germs. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Thank you all. We'll talk to you again soon. John, take us out.
Hi, everybody.